Act 3, back in the palace grind. Kevin has briefly returned from the front line and is in hiding from the enemy who are not far behind. Then Francis, disguised as Francis, appears but is wearing the magic hat. So that Kevin can't see her. Just then, the other Francis appears with his dispatches. He sees Kevin, who asks what he is doing.
What are you doing?
Kevin tells Francis that it is far too dangerous to go any further, as the enemy are all about them, but that he should return hence to the Baron. Francis explains that the war will be lost if he does not get the Baron's dispatches to the front line. But as Kevin's begging to dissuade Francis, Francis takes off her magic hat, puff of smoke, and big cord. Kevin and Francis are very astonished to see her pop out of nowhere, however, do not faint or inquire why she's dressed up to look like Francis. Francis is actually very relieved to have chanced upon Kevin. She straightway imparts the tidings of her mistress's love for him. Kevin is quite overwhelmed with the news. Not least, since he already has rather a lot to worry about at present, such as the problem of trying not to get shot by the enemy, and nervously inquires as to who Francis's mistress might be. But suddenly, as his hand falls once again upon the pooey handkerchief, which he retained as a souvenir, but with every intention of returning, it dawns on him, with a little helpful intervention from the offstage heavenly chorus, who can always be relied upon to take a hint, who his admirer is, and with a subtle change of key from the orchestra, he suddenly becomes aware of the overpowering feelings within his own breast. He there and then informs Francis that Betty's feelings are reciprocated. We hear the triumphal voices of Mandy plucked in the chorus from the wings, and that he is greatly looking forward to proving it when he returns. Meanwhile, sings a touching message to Francis, full of longing and regret, since to him she looks a lot more attractive dressed as a boy. Such is the turmoil. An anguish within Francis' breast. This is the most poignant aria in the opera, in which Francis, with the very real prospect of imminent death all around, confronts his own sexuality. Francis then suggests that with a magic hat on, she can go anywhere with comparative safety. So why doesn't she go to the front line in place of Francis? Kevin and Francis think she is a mug, so of course agree to the plan. Pull the hat again, puff of smoke, etc., and exits, followed by a longing coda, sung by Francis. Just then, Patrick enters, and seeing Francis in the armour, inquires angrily why he has not executed his orders with the urgent dispatches. Francis is too embarrassed to tell the Baron that he has just sent Francis, the maidservant, disguised as himself and wearing a magic hat, into danger in his stead. He thinks the Baron might not believe him. So it's hard to know which part of wouldn't believe, one wonders. So he hurriedly exits to try and overtake Francis and tell her that he has had second thoughts regarding her kind, though reckless offer. Kevin pleads to him to take care. All exit. You next see Francis with the hat on. Yes, the audience can see her. Followed by Francis, who doesn't see her. Followed by Tinker, who seems to find this all very amusing. Followed by Mandy, disguised this time for reasons unexplained as a deer, who's looking very serious. What does the serious deer look like? They sing a complicated quartet, affirming their individual quest. But as they are about to go their separate ways, Tinker sneaks up behind Francis and swipes his hat back. Apparently he can also see her as the audience. Mandy is enraged, The lights go out, and you see the power of Mandy starkly revealed in the fierce light. She there and then casts a powerful spell on the cowering Tinker that will make him not only visible to all mortals whenever he dons the hat, but mortal too. Thank you, The high personal price she has to pay for executing this spell is that her fate will be inextricably linked to that of Tinker's. Subtle twist. Francis, who is also suddenly able to see Francis, inquires of her where the hat may be. Francis says that if she was sure she had it a moment ago, they start to search the stage for it. Francis then asks Francis, in the meantime, whether she had any brothers. But but just at that moment, Bessie enters, dressed up as Francis. She doesn't notice Francis or Francis. She thinks that she is much troubled by recent events, and is feeling somewhat guilty at having sent her maid into danger, so has decided to go in her stead, also disguised as a messenger. There must be a lot of messenger uniforms in the palace. To seek for her beloved Kevin, if he's still intact, and maybe borrow the hat, which of course would have been quite hard to locate if it's been placed on Francis' head. Unfortunately, she bumps into Tinker with hat, who erroneously believes himself to be invisible. They are both pretty surprised. Betty sees that he has the magic hat, but doesn't seem at all surprised that she can see him wearing it, and concludes that he must have killed Francis for it and tried to wrest it back. But at that moment, the Baron Patrick and Patricia arrive. He sees Betty struggling with Tinker and thinks that he is molesting his daughter, so he gets his gun out and shoots Tinker. Always a wise policy to shoot first and ask questions later with evil deity. This is not turning out to be a good day for Tinker. Or for Mandy, for that matter, who staggers onto the stage as she too has been mortally wounded. If in fulfillment of her powerful spell, her fate has been bound up with Tinker's. Just then, Kevin and Francis run onto the stage, having heard the shot. They all see Tinker lying wounded and inquire as to who he is. By the way, he's not dressed disguised as a crow anymore.
No.
That's a tricky one. Mandy sings the beautiful swan song aria, something of an accomplishment when one is a dying deer, which satisfactorily entertains the others all joining and sing a verse to affirm their understanding of the rather complex implications of the situation. The Baron acknowledges that he probably shot Tinker for slightly the wrong reason, but nonetheless is still glad that he did. No one else expressed any strong feelings regarding the Baron's moral justification. In the final aria, Betty prays to the angels to let Mandy live in respect of her good conduct, notwithstanding that none of this would have come to pass had it not been for her interference in the very first place. You once again hear the heavenly choir graciously agreeing to the suggestion, Betty and Kevin in grace, Francis and Francis in grace, and Patrick and Patricia in grace. Tinker dies in a true melodramatic fashion, loved by all villains, and Mandy shows her gratitude by casting a good spell over them all. We never find out what the war is about, or which was the winning side, or who gets to keep the magic hat.